So who's hosting?
We didn't really decide on that, did we?
No. Mm-hmm. Do we plan anything?
No, you really don't.
I mean, let's be honest. We just kind of were like, ooh, Sonic 2 trailer. We should do Sonic.
This is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to The Drift Space.
Initiate neural engine in 3, 2, 1.
I like the fact that, like, this was initially supposed to be a Christmas episode, but we couldn't figure out what to do. We were just like, oh, hey, yeah, let's do that new 8-bit movie. Yeah. No, oh, wait, no, let's do It's a Wonderful Life. No, I think Gundam Wing Endless Waltz was kicked around at some point, too.
Yeah.
And then we saw the Sonic 2 trailer. We're like, well, let's just do Sonic. That's a Christmas movie. Yeah, no.
Well, you know, the thing that started it all is, where are my manners?
I love that.
With the Sonic 2 trailer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think...
In the wall, and he goes, where are my manners? Sonic, this is Knuckles.
Well, I mean, it's just classic Jim Carrey. And that's something we really haven't talked about on the Drift Space yet, is our love for Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I think we did on our last podcast, but we haven't really, like, specified much about Jim Carrey.
Like, I mean, if Dave were here, he would back us up 110%, but all four of us have this, like, uncanny love for Jim Carrey. Regardless of what movie he's in, we'll probably go see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one, and I was pleasantly surprised by this one. And so here we go. We're going to dive into Sonic, at least 3/4 of the Drift Space. Dave is still out. He's still being a sourpuss. And I guess I'm leading this thing. Here we go. On a distant planet, Sonic, a supersonic speed hedgehog.
Super Saiyan 3 Sonic.
Pickle
hedgehog.
Pepper Piper.
Poorly pitched. Pitch perfect.
Pitch perfect. A supersonic speed hedgehog is sent to Earth by his guardian after he's hunted down by a tribe of Knuckles, it looks like. And
they're a kid, huh?
Is once he's outed by a government doctor by the name of Dr. Robotnik. Is that his?
Don't give him a first name, do they?
No, no. He feels he needs to go to another world filled with mushrooms, conveniently, from the video games. But he loses his ring through a portal in San Francisco, which leads to a road trip with Cyclops. So
just go back and listen to the poorly pitched.
I mean, and that's what this movie is. It's a road trip movie.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, we had a writer he was a teacher, but he was a writer, and he said in college, he said, you know, some of the best movies out there are road trip movies. And I gotta agree with him. And they're just buddy, like, get to know each other movies, and they're great. And, you know, even though this was aimed more at our younger audience, or kids mainly, it actually turns out to be a really good, really fun movie for just everybody.
Right? I'm still having trouble deciding who stole the movie. Jim Carrey as Robotnik or Sonic or Ozzy. Seriously, I love Ozzy and I want to take him home.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any question about this? Jim Carrey stole the show.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, for someone who has barely played any Sonic in her life, and the only access to experience such games were at a Target or Best Buy, I really loved this film adaptation of it. It's not too kiddie, it's not too dark. I feel like it stayed true to the majority of the lore with what very little I know of it. And these are the kinds of movies I miss watching as a kid. The kinds that don't bore you with intricate details and In fact, they make light of them. Like how a grown man, a cop in fact, is risking his life for a creature from another world to retrieve magical rings in San Francisco. Or like how the U.S. government thought that a situation was so serious they had to send one man with stupid amount of mechanical power and a ridiculous high IQ level with an evil but funny personality.
I mean, you should have done the plot summary, honestly.
I also loved seeing Gary Chalk's cameo in this. I don't care if it was like, what, 2 lines or 15 seconds of screen time. You never see Gary Chalk on screen. It always lines up the room for me. So
when we were watching this last night, JR and I were watching this, I pointed at the screen and I go, Optimus Primal, because we've been doing all these Beast Wars episodes.
Right? So it's like...
So at some point, he's going to yell Maximize. I know it.
See, JR, it's funny you mentioned that it's like kind of like a road trip story and how one of our mentors once said, you know, road trip movies are the best, because I vehemently disagree. I think road trip movies are tacky, overused, they set themselves up for failure because they think they're impervious to anything going wrong. So it really had to transcend that for me, honestly. Because there's a lot of road trip movies out there. Like, okay, we did Fanboys, mm-hmm. and we generally like Fanboys, right? Yeah. I enjoy Fanboys. I think it's a much better movie than it was reviewed to have been. But I also see that there's some problems with that. I also think that road trip movies can come off as, okay, a little too easy. We have to reach point B to get to point C. Then we get to point C, we got to go to point D. And we got to get to, you know, and it becomes kind of like a checklist of where the characters go.
Right.
And I think this movie avoided it in part because Jim Carrey was able to break up the monotony of it. And there's this ridiculous scene where he's dancing while he's uploading the information from the little like hedgehog quilt. Yeah. You know, and I'm sitting here going, there was no directing in this scene.
Of course not.
There was just
it just gave him a song and said go.
And
which is like 90% of Jim Carrey. Here's your scene.
Go. Okay, Jim. There's a little blank here in the script, so just be you.
Golly. Then he ends it with that line. What, you think I'm an imbecile? Of course I want a latte. I love how you make them.
I love it.
He's just, it's not the best of Jim Carrey by any stretch of the imagination, and his lines aren't nearly as clever as some of his former work, but for some reason.
They're pretty close.
For some reason, it was enough to bring me back to the age of The Mask and Ace Ventura and just the maniacal insanity that he brought to the screen.
Well, I think there's a line that you keep quoting that I think as the grown-up audience will relate to Jim Carrey the most.
This is my favorite line of the movie.
I don't mean to seem indulgent.
Oh, but go on.
I don't mean to seem indulgent, but somebody might want to get some ice for the body.
I mean,
or when Sonic was like, who is this guy? And it immediately cuts to Jim and goes, uh-huh. Do you know where your tax dollars are going?
Yes, that's it. That's my favorite line of the movie. Do you know where your tax dollars are going? Because we mentioned how this is a kid's movie. Oh, whoa, is it a kid's movie? And some of the darker lines, the kids aren't going to pick up on as well. Like, you know, do you have a child in your bag? Well, it's not my child.
Relax, I'm a police officer.
Relax, I'm a police officer. This is worse than when you catch me in the dog cage. You know, things of that nature are just really terrible, but funny. And but the tax dollar line, I mean, can we not relate to that a little bit?
Seriously.
There's I read one time someone took this film as an anti-militarism movie because of that line. And while I won't dare go on to say that this is a film built on the intricacies of wagging its finger at the U.S. military for how much money it spends on militarizing our nation, there's at least enough comedy there to make fun of the situation, because he's just throwing all these ridiculous robots at an alien furball. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, our tax dollars are being tossed a highway road chase against a blue hedgehog that goes arguably faster than the Flash. I don't know.
There's a crossover I want to see now. Sonic versus the Flash.
Well, I even said during the movie as they're racing, I go, wow, the Flash movie we'll never get.
Wow.
The Flash movie we deserve.
And then on top of that, him reading all the Flash comics at the beginning there.
Well, it's okay if I enjoyed his character and his speed and the special effects going over his speed more in this movie than I did in Justice League.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. Oh, look. More slow-mo. But here they you know, they
even
kind
had
of,
two slow-mo scenes in this movie.
Oh, they were definitely riffing off of the
X-Men.
The
X-Men.
Yeah,
I was about to say, he pulled a Quicksilver on us.
There was a lot of Quicksilver. It was somehow more earnest in that. Like, it knew what it was doing.
Yeah.
And I love the scene where they're on the building, and he's you know, just casually tossing the missiles, which are standing still because he's going so fast. Casually tossing
them, slowly.
And Jim Carrey slowly reaching for his finger. That's what I needed. See, that's what I needed in Justice League, the Snyder Cut, was a slow-mo of Batman hitting a button or something with his tongue, like, out his mouth. Just reaching slowly. Might have improved the entire movie.
That's probably a good thing we don't have Dave on here.
But yeah, no, the movie definitely embraces its absurdity, while just giving me enough to make it hurt a little. The tax dollar line. Oh, good grief. I mean to seem indelicate. Line.
I don't mean to seem indelicate. Somebody should get some ice for the body. It was, all right, another just thing I want to bring up about this movie is, you know, this is one where the fans actually came through 110%.
Yeah, they
I mean, we had this discussion outside of the movie we finished last night, and I want to pose the question, do you think this movie would have been successful if we had kept the original Sonic design?
I'll take this one.
The one that looked more like a radioactive cat thrown through a hedge clipper.
I'll take this one.
I want to hear you, Rebecca.
I am among the 110% of fans who agreed that and glad that they changed Sonic's design. I think I remember seeing the trailer of the first design, and I was immediately turned off by it for whatever reason. But when I saw the new design in the movie, everything just seemed to click, and it was a real eye opener. If there's anything I learned from watching a live adaptation of a cartoon or a video game, is that you don't always have to change the main character designs. It took 6 Transformers sequels to get that message clear. Okay.
Wow.
Of course, we're going to talk about Transformers.
I mean, she snuck it in there.
Hey, it's not my fault Gary Chalk's in the movie. Anyway, okay, fine. The designers wanted to make sure that the characters look realistic, but the problem is, they seem to try so hard to make the character too realistic to blend in with the world. Well, kind of newsflash here. People in real life don't always blend in with the world. Sometimes they go by their own individualistic ways. And that is real life, which is pretty much who Sonic is. His own individual in a strange, non-blending world. And he should look the part, not a terribly deformed rat. So I commend the designers who postponed the movie and decided to stay true to the original Sonic design, and that was a good and wise call. There, I'm done.
Well, okay, and Reb, I agree with you, and I don't think, JR, the film would have been as successful with the previous design, because it's a children's film, and children are mostly, they're mostly attracted to aesthetics, pleasing aesthetics. This was not pleasing. And while I think it was good that they went back and they changed the design, I do feel bad about the effects production company that went under after changing the design. I mean, they worked overtime and long hours to perfect this movie, and then Paramount just let them go under.
Yeah,
You know, many effects artists these days are not unionized.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why so many production companies and studios treat them like garbage, which is funny to me, because if they keep doing this, there's not going to be any effects companies left to do this work, and they're going to have to do it in-house, which in the past has not yielded the best results. And Rebecca, as an artist yourself, I mean, what do you think of that? I mean, these artists, they did their job. They did, in fact, change the film for the better. I think we can all agree. But what's your opinion on how the artists were used? I mean, was it worth it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to say it was worth it. In fact, unfortunately, it is part of the world every artist lives through. They live through, they have to like take the punches and kicks and occasional spits in the faces just to make the perfect picture, basically. And for my personal experience, I lost count of how many times I applied for several like animation jobs or graphic design jobs and got rejected, and how much I put a lot of effort into one piece of work and just get like, what, I don't know, two or three likes. And then I post up some sort of sketch that just came up in my head, and I got like, what, 100 likes. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, fine, whatever. It is unfortunately the lifestyle of the starving artist. They have to put up with all this crap just to make the perfect picture.
I mean, a lot of people lost their jobs though after this, and not to turn this entire, you know, discussion into something a little darker, but it is reality.
Oh, I got something much darker.
Well, and it's, you know, and Rebecca, I know your situation. You're not exactly sitting on a pile of money, and you do a lot of commissions, but it's not exactly, you know, the most lucrative and quick money maker.
No, it's a very humbling job, but the thing is, what keeps me going doing this is because I love doing this, and I'm pretty sure that, I mean, if I were in all those effects artists' shoes during the production of this movie, I feel like they were feeling the same way. They love Sonic. They love creating. They love to go back to the original design, and I think they probably had a ball and a blast. The real reward in the job is the actual job, and not the payment or the recognition, although that would be a bonus. But yeah, it's. I mean, I'm not sure I'm making any sense. I kind of
want to sit on this for a second. I mean, you're saying it's inevitable that artists are essentially unappreciated in their line of work.
Yeah.
But these artists had, like, you know, they were working for a company, and their company was working for another company, and that company that hired them for this multi-million dollar picture didn't help them stay afloat. Not that, granted, it was Paramount's duty to do that, but
yeah, you know, I'm thinking,
Paramount could have thrown more money their way for the extra time that they were putting into this.
Well, I also wonder, like, let's sit here listening to you. I wonder how much Paramount, you know, intervened in them saying, let's make a new design. Let's make Sonic look different.
Yeah.
And then when people backlashed, well, that's when the artists were like, well, yeah, we have to fix this. The artists stepped up and said something like, this is what we should have been doing from the beginning. You know, that's what Rebecca is saying, is putting your love and your craft into your work.
Okay, granted. And we didn't bring this up. It's not been confirmed, but the idea of making Sonic a little more realistic seems to have not come from the artist's viewpoint. Apparently some artists were against that and wanted to go with a more classic design. And, you know, they weren't listened to. They went with the first design. No one liked it. And then they went back to what the artists were saying the entire time. This was not confirmed, but this is supposedly, you know, from a few sources I've spoken with what happened. Wouldn't shock me.
Wouldn't shock me
if the suits made the decision, oh, hey, let's make Sonic look like this, when they should have just gone more of a, I guess, kind of a Who Framed Roger Rabbit route and sort of just put like a cartoony character in the real world.
Well, that's that. I mean, that's another discussion all into itself. That's a dying breed. That breed is,
well, that's 2D. That's 2D. But what I meant was the kind of typical design. They were designing Sonic as if he
existed. Thanks for rubbing that in my orphan face.
But, you know, I mean, Rebecca, in terms of like the artist's lifestyle, you've made it pretty clear you think that the artist's lifestyle is just kind of destined to kind of walk a lonely road. But was it fair for
the artist,
you know, Paramount, to, you know, let an entire company of artists just go down the tubes?
No, I don't think it was fair at all. And I think Paramount needs to, I don't know, grow a pair and fess up, apologize, and again.
Well, they're not going to do that. That's not.
Well, that explains so much. That explains why we're not getting a Star Trek movie so quickly.
Oh, don't remind me.
I'm you know, with this in mind, the discussion of the artists and all that behind Sonic, I'm curious, do we have a, do we know that who's doing the effects this time around for Sonic 2?
That's a good question.
Like, no, I would be interested in knowing if, you know, because at this point, that company that did all that work that went under are like, hey guys, you know, we still have that original design.
Well, no, it would be owned by Paramount. Well, it would be property of Paramount.
I guess you're right.
But my thing is that, you know, wouldn't you want the same artists that were already,
because that's what I'm saying,
working
because
on Sonic to come back and help out?
Because Tails and Knuckles and the Neutrinos look like...
It just occurred to me. So we saw that like kind of goofy, realistic design for Sonic that they had in the very, very first trailer, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if they had one of those for Tails.
Oh my god. that would, out of all the Sonic's lore I've seen on the internet, that would scare me the most. A realistic
Tails. Because she's in, we haven't gotten here yet, but we she's in the closing credits.
Is she?
Spoiler alert.
Is Tails a she?
Oh, he. I think there's been a misconception that Tails is a she for years, like since the 90s, and I've been calling him a she, but I think it's really a him.
Because
can we get someone to confirm?
can one of our listeners confirm that?
No, that's too hard on Tails.
Because, like in Sonic lore, the only ones that I know are female are Rouge the Bat and Amy.
Okay, I'm right. Tails is a male. Yeah. I was told at a very young age that he was a she, but
yeah, no,
Tails is male.
Pretty sure that Tails is a dude.
Okay, no.
Well, maybe Tails was a she and she turned into a male. I mean, it is 2021.
Moving on.
Yeah, I know. Cut that out.
in the quotes of Dave, I'll do what I want.
Pretty much. I miss Dave.
I think we all miss Dave. But, yeah, I mean, this movie is such a, I don't know, it's interesting to me that we have such a great movie that the fans actually spoke up and were like, you know, fix it. And it turned out as awesome as it did. It, to me, this is just kind of like a triumph for a movie.
Okay, I'm a little mixed on that though, because sometimes you get fans who who scream and whine about things, and you get stuff like The Last Jedi. No, not The Last Jedi.
Snyder Cut.
We get things, not Last Jedi. I actually appreciate Last Jedi. You get things like Rise of Skywalker, which essentially walks back a lot of things and tries to, you know, please the fans a little bit too much. Yeah. And we've been seeing this a lot. I remember back in Star Trek Into Darkness, a lot of fans made minor complaints. They weren't even vocal complaints. They were minor complaints about how Kirk became captain too quickly. And the writer said, you know, that's a good point. We should address that. You know, just kind of please, like, you know, fan reaction to that. The reaction wasn't very vocal to begin with. And they kind of went that route anyway. And I found that very, you know, stick with your guns, right?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I loved about The Dark Knight Rises is that there were a lot of complaints at first that no one could understand Bane in the early previews. Nolan just stuck with his guns. He's like, no, this is how he sounds. Deal with it. And you know what? We go and we see the movie. And we ended up understanding him, right? It was fine.
He delivered one of my favorite lines.
He delivered a lot of favorite lines. Which one are you talking about?
He has such a lovely singing voice.
That was good. Oh, that was good. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
But so I am mixed about it. I'm also mixed in that did the fan reaction, did the push to redo Sonic's design help cause this company to go under? I don't know.
Well, that I think that circles back to my original question of would this movie have been accepted so well, even though the writing's there, even though the talent's there, even though what's the word I'm looking for? The cues for the jokes are there. Would this movie have been so successful if Sonic looked like he did in the original? So, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
I think it would have been close. I don't think it would have made quite as much money. I think a lot of parents would have been turned off taking their kids to see what was kind of a terrifying looking design. Very off-putting. I'm not sure. I think it would have been close. I think it would have made money, but it wouldn't have been as successful. Because again, aesthetics.
Yeah.
Kids love aesthetics. I mean, it's we've talked about Power Rangers on different shows, and I think one of the big draws for Power Rangers is aesthetics. So much so that it really torpedoed the enjoyment of the 2017 movie for some fans. I mean, even everyone here agrees that the designs don't quite measure up. We just like the movie because it's well made.
Yeah.
So it would have been, you know, the aesthetic just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. And as for fans being loud and obnoxious enough that they changed it, well, we can consider it a win, or we can also lean into the possibility that we're a bunch of whiny babies that just are spoiled and got their way.
Since we're in the realm of video game discussions and video game movies right here, you know, I wanted to bring up, we got an upcoming Mario movie with Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And from what sources say, Chris Pratt has chosen to drop the Italian accent. And that's, you know, that's what makes Mario Mario.
I mean,
you tell me, you say Mario, what's my first reaction? It's me, Mario.
I don't like that either.
So, and do you think this is a case where fans will backlash again?
Well, I don't think the reaction to that has been quite as vocal as the reaction to Sonic.
Because we haven't heard it yet.
Well, we haven't heard it, and I think,
I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of I've been seeing backlash. A lot of stuff saying that we don't want Chris Pratt voicing Mario. We want somebody else.
Well, I think the whole cast for the Mario movie is extremely vanilla. Like, mm-hmm. it's this very consumer-friendly voice cast. You know, look at this big name. Look at this big name. Yeah. Look at this big name. Yeah, you know, and I'm sitting here just like...
Big names only bring money. They don't bring the art or nostalgia.
Exactly.
And just bring in the original Mario voice actor.
I think the casting is wrong, I'll be honest. And I think this is a commercial decision to throw Chris Pratt's name in there to boost the Mario brand.
So that...
I don't know. It's a fine line, JR, between, you know, fans speaking up for the art of their favorite franchise and fans speaking up because they're whiny and want to get their way. It's always hard to tell.
Yeah.
For me, it's always really hard to tell. Would I like to give Chris Pratt the benefit of the doubt? Yeah, absolutely. Do I think the initial casting decision of Chris Pratt is for, you know, the love of the franchise? Not really. Not exactly. You know, not that Sonic itself is this, you know, great piece of artistic endeavors that I mean, maybe there are probably some fans that are completely enamored by Sonic and feel as deeply about it as, say, I do about Godzilla. Okay. I could be off, but you know, what I got out of Sonic was a working, fun film. You know, not transcendent, but likable script and characters.
That, Rebecca, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I have more of like a question, and I think it's pretty obvious, so forgive me if I sound stupid. But so, you know how in every of the Marvel MCU movies, we get like a nice classical Marvel opening intro and everything. Yeah. And so, well, they did the same thing for Sonic, but for Sega. Sega did the same thing for Sonic.
Yeah.
And they're going to do a Mario movie, which actually Mario's Nintendo, not Sega.
Yes.
Are we looking at probably future, I don't know.
Crossovers?
Yes.
You know, I was thinking that because...
Is there actually going to be like a Super Smash Brothers movie somewhere in the distant future?
You know, I was thinking about this as I was finishing up Sonic last night because I was like, why does he want to go to the Mushroom Planet so much?
Yeah.
Isn't Mario the Mushroom Kingdom?
Well, Mushroom... No, there was a Mushroom. I didn't play a lot of Sonic when I was younger, but there was a Mushroom level.
Okay,
in Sonic.
See,
that was, yeah. I'm going to be the man who speaks realism here. That would require Universal Studios, who has the rights for the Mario movie,
yeah,
and Paramount working together.
That ain't happening.
That ain't happening. that.
Next question: when are we getting Mario and Sonic Olympics the movie? Yeah, no, you know, for such a movie that was, I don't know, it appeared to be doomed from the beginning, it's just still amazing that we got something as enjoyable as we did.
Okay, you say that, and it really clicks for me, because I've been sitting here thinking, you know, I really like this movie. I really enjoy the characters. I really enjoy the neat little story. You know, it's got a working beginning, middle, and end with a bow tied.
It's a movie.
I mean, but it's not really about a lot unless you want to really look into the tax dollar line.
Yeah.
it's not really about a lot. Okay. And we have had this discussion for movies like Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. Mm-hmm. You know, how highly can you praise a working movie if it doesn't, you know, really talk about something? If it really doesn't have some themes that speak to us about something important that's either universal or personal or... And I think I don't want to say that movies about... It's about nothing. It's a show about nothing. I don't want to say movies that aren't about something specific or important aren't good, but I also don't want to encourage movies to work simply without important themes. I think important themes are what make certain films so good, or even make bad films more interesting. Here we have a good movie, like Star Trek IV, or even like Back to the Future. I think we beat around the bush with that,
yeah,
too. That works without going into some sort of deep topic. Yeah, I know it's a kid's film, but that's never been an excuse for me. You know, we've watched plenty of Ultraman that are kids' shows and movies. We've watched plenty of Pixar stuff, which have extremely heavy themes, but are kids' films. I don't want to, like, push the whole, oh, it's just a kid's entertainment line,
yeah,
and be reductive about it. What do you guys think? Do you guys think there's anything there, or do you think it's just a working picture regardless of any important topics?
That's a good question. Here's the thing, though. I remember watching movies. I can't remember a time where I enjoyed watching a movie and feeling like I'm back being a kid again. If you know what I mean, in the 90s. I feel like watching this movie in particular had a type of theme as a kid where the plot has a serious issue, but it's in the form of a friendly, and it's a friendly form on a high level of human possibilities. I mean, I'm reminded of movies like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It deals with a murder case, but with cartoons, 2D cartoons and everything. Space Jam, the good one, deals with sportsmanship and loyalty and trying to overcome a bribery, and in a way, kind of, if you think about it, kind of human trafficking.
Space Jam was human trafficking? Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted
to, yeah, the Looney Tunes had to go to the planet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, force them to work and everything. And Casper deals with life and death. James and the Giant Peach deals with loss of family. Babe deals with finding one's place in the world. These are the type of movies that that I grew up as a kid and was on the edge of my seat and got the message plain and simple. And Sonic the Hedgehog, which deals with loneliness and a longing for connection, brought back that same childlike eagerness I grew up watching. It's heartwarming, it's funny, it's truthful, and it is super family friendly. And yeah, JJ, what was your question again?
Well, no, you hit the nail on the head, because that's kind of the theme I was getting from it, is dealing with being alone and wanting to be accepted. And while the whole movie didn't go that way, you saw a lot of that in the beginning of it, where Sonic was alone and, you know, playing ping pong by himself and especially playing
baseball.
Because that was his whole, you know, that was his whole reasoning for freaking out and causing an EMP, is that he couldn't deal with being alone anymore. So the fact that Sonic is a road trip movie and it's got that buddy-buddy feel to it, yeah, it's 100% what you were saying. Loneliness, feeling accepted. And granted, you know, movies like GJ said, like Back to the Future and stuff like that, don't have to really have a deeper meaning to it. But it was nice to see that Sonic, something so lighthearted and something that, let's face it, it's a video game franchise that has touched generations. I mean, how many Sonic games are there? So
a lot.
It was nice to see something so so universal connect everybody with such a impactful meaning.
Yeah, exactly. And
that was my two cents, though.
And I also, I'm gonna point out another obvious probably, and but I really like how Sonic and Robotnik are complete polar opposites, but they have something in common. Sonic's blue, Robotnik's red, good and evil, yeah, it's got that part. But Sonic, is from a different world, and he grew up on Earth alone by observing it, everyone and emanating their behaviors and longs to connect with them. Robotnik, who is human, has lived within society his whole life and plainly stated several times that he doesn't care nor like people, deliberately hardens himself from any desire of any connection whatsoever. And then the one thing they both have in common is their loneliness, but it's taken in two completely different ways. Sonic laments his solitude and fears that he'll be alone for the rest of his life, while Robotnik relishes in his loneliness and values his time and machines over anything or anyone. It's actually kind of depressing if you think about it. I mean, loneliness hurts. One thing is, I mean, it's one thing where you need to be alone to gather your thoughts and relax just for a day or two, but when your life is revolved around it, or even if it's the foundation of your life, it causes nothing but madness, which is putting it mildly for Jim Carrey. But for Sonic to experience sorrow and anger from his loneliness is, I'm saying loneliness a lot, sorry, is very human of him, which goes back to the quote of Tom telling Robotnik that Sonic knew more about being human than him. So basically, given the experience for both protagonists and antagonists, it's better to connect with someone from afar than not connect with anyone at all. So that's my little philosophical rant, but...
All right. Well, fair. Okay, maybe I've underrated Sonic a little bit. I get stuck on the taxpayer line the most. That's my... If anyone can figure out, I don't care for the government... So that's pretty good, Rebecca.
Yeah, it's just like JR said, it's something simple, something doesn't have to be something deep like anti-military or whatever. It's just something simple, like it sucks being alone, I want to have a friend.
Yeah, it's, I mean, something really simple can have a really powerful message to it. So, and like you said, we all can relate to that in one way or another. Any final thoughts we have here on Sonic?
I do. I love how the kindest and softest person to Robotnik is his assistant named Stone. And in the end of the movie, he's trapped on the Mushroom Planet and he's talking to a stone with a nice shaped beard like Moss. Is that in the game as well, where he talks to a rock or and to mushrooms, or is that just
no
new?
You know, you said they're kind of polar opposites. See, one thing we talk about a lot is casting and how casting doesn't seem to fit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, Robotnik is not that over the top. He's very, like, cold and methodical and to himself, from what I understand. So when I said earlier, this movie seemed to be doomed from the beginning, casting Jim Carrey as Robotnik, I was like, well, there we go. But, I mean, look what we got out of Heath Ledger as the Joker.
I mean, yeah, no, Jim Carrey was fantastic. And I think he is cold and calculating. He's just also obsessed with himself. He's just very... That's the one twist on the character, is that he's a narcissist.
Yeah.
So. No. You just sit down and be you. Sless.
Honestly, I kind of relate to him. I really enjoy the character the most. I think really this movie is about the entire world being wrong and one man being right. That's
not surprising at all.
Well, we all can relate to Robotnik in one way or another.
What was our last poorly pitched?
You had it.
I did have it, I think.
And you know what? I have an answer.
But you don't remember what it is.
But I don't remember the movie.
A purple jungle man kills Shang Tsung.
What is it, JR?
The Phantom.
It's the Phantom.
That's what I thought! But you said it wasn't!
What?
I thought it was the Phantom!
You didn't tell me that. I don't remember this conversation.
And if you wanted to be right, you should have said it. This is not my fault. You got Rebecca. If there's anything we learned from the movie we just watched, you gotta go fast.
Thanks, JR.
All right, who's doing the next poorly pitched?
Oh crap! Do we?
All right, here it is. Here it is. Here's my poorly pitched. Evil James Bond wants John Locke's invention. Poorly pitched.
Well, I'm not getting that.
I wish you could see my face. It's just, it's stuck
GJ,
right now.
GJ's just sitting here looking at mine and he's just laughing.
I'm watching you go online now trying to figure out what the hell it's...
What?
Evil James Bond. Search. So who has a fanboy 50?
I'll start with fanboy 50. Okay, this will give you guys time.
Let me get my stopwatch here.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
All right, GJ. Because yep. I got to say this yesterday for the first time in my life. Run it to your mark. Set. Go.
All right, so Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, God.
That was a travesty. It's scared me back to the anime, which I am now rewatching, and I'm not crazy. The anime really is that good, and the live action show just missed the mark, and which is unfortunate because I did like the cast, I did like the music, but it's one of those cases where it looks like Cowboy Bebop, sounds like Cowboy Bebop, but it just couldn't reach Cowboy Bebop heights. And that show has now been canceled by Netflix after one season. So we won't get any more of that terrible, terrible ending. Thank you.
Ty. You can't hurt anybody anymore.
That was the first thing I saw when I got on my phone on Google is that Netflix Cowboy Bebop canceled. I'm like, yes.
I mean,
I
didn't
really...
exactly end on a high note.
I'm glad I didn't see it.
It's a shame because I liked the first episode. I was like, yeah, this is cool. It has some liberties into it. And then I mean, kept watching. And I was like, and we're going downhill faster than I care to admit.
Like I said, I liked the cast, and I feel sorry for the cast.
Yeah, but the cast was awesome.
They deserved way better materials.
Rebecca, are you ready?
I guess. I'm not prepared, but all right.
Just rant.
All right. Okay. I do have something to rant.
Do you think we prepare for these things?
I mean, I do.
Ready, go.
Okay, so What We Do in the Shadows, season 3. Oh my god, I loved it. This is probably my all-time favorite season so far. I cannot wait for season 4. They are currently underway with it right now. I mean, you want to talk about character development? There you go. I mean, we get an inside view of what Nandor is going through, and Guillermo's finally stepping up his role as not as a familiar, but as a bodyguard now. And we even get a new side to Laszlo Cravensworth that no one's ever seen. And I don't think
So, because I like going on tangents right now, you spoiled into What We Do in the Shadows for me. Did you know that?
Oh, no. How?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's a little picture of there. The vampires just sitting there, shocked. And then Colin Robinson's face isn't recognizable. I sat there looking at that picture going, well, gee. Thanks, Rebecca.
You didn't know.
I didn't know what was happening at the time because Colin Robinson's face was unrecognizable.
Yeah.
But you spoiled it for me.
You didn't know she spoiled it, though.
I didn't
it
was know. Like,
I do remember that she pumped out those images pretty quickly after the episode. So I'm like, we're back.
If you would look on my Instagram page, that is probably the most likes I've ever gotten on that piece.
It is.
And I'm not
condemning you for that. That's a great piece. But you got to give some time to people.
It was a week.
Oh.
I waited a week.
To be fair.
A week.
To be fair. Yeah.
That's the longest I had to wait.
Oh yeah, they don't let you know how many likes you get anymore. But yeah, she has a ton. Look at this.
Holy crap.
If you're a listener, look at this. Look at this.
This is content.
Follow her Instagram at super_r_illustrations. All right, JR, here we go.
All right. JR, am I ready?
Set.
We'll see.
Go.
So, not a lot has been going on. I have been doing nerdy stuff in the background, but mostly I have uprooted my life from Nashville, Tennessee, and I have moved out to the middle of nowhere, South Carolina.
Woohoo!
Yeah, like I said, nerdy stuff has been going on. I've been watching this disaster known as Cowboy Bebop. I finished What We Did in the Shadows. I'm increasingly more excited for Spider-Man No Way Home, but I've been busy with my new job and just acquainting myself with all the new technology and responsibilities for that. So that's probably why I haven't heard from you much on any of my Tumblr, Instagram or Twitters or anything like that.
Time.
But
but you have. We're now working for the same company, aren't we?
Yeah.
You and I are working for the same.
It's weird. We've kind of followed each other throughout our life.
I know, right?
It started off in middle school, and now here we are working for a college together.
Middle school, high school. We ended up in college together. We ended up. But anyway, yeah. It's been fun to watch you kind of like wade through that mess
and clear up all the crap that's gone wrong.
Yeah, that's.
I'm very happy for you, JR. I really am.
Well, thank you.
Like you have no idea. You sound so much more relaxed. So much.
I sound so much more relaxed than the week I got here and was panicking about driving a 25-foot trailer full of nothing but expensive equipment.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on our episode about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. If you want to know where to find me, my name is JR. And I've got the Instagram at LittleManCosplay. And I also have the Twitter over there. And that is LittleMan_says1.
I'm Rebecca. If you'd like to check out some of my artwork, and some of them are not spoiler free, you can find me on the Linktree app at linktr.ee/reb.hudge.
And I'm G. You can find me on Twitter at Gman of Mysterioid. You can check out my Substack at Deferential Wrath of a Rusting Markalite Cannon at markalite.substack.com. And we are The Drift Space. You like what you heard just now? You can check us out at bit.ly/TDSlinks. And make sure you contact us at The Drift Space on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, if anyone uses that. We'd love to hear from you guys. And as always, please remember this. This is the most important part. Always stay strapped.
Gotta go fast!
I don't mean to see the devil.
I'm sorry.